Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Happy Monday. I'm here, yours truly, Derek Oliver, and my beautiful wife, Kay, for D&K Bible Break, live on Blog Talk Radio. We just want to say good evening to everyone. Happy Monday, as my wife likes to say. And I'm glad that you can spend this Monday with us. Hopefully you had a blessed weekend. And everything is going great in your life. But we're going to do another D&K Bible Break. Hopefully you enjoy it. First and foremost, I want to give honor to the Lord who's ahead of my life. Give him all honor, glory for waking me up on the right side, in my right frame of mind, with all activities of my limb, and just being able to move freely. I just want to, you know, give the Lord a shout out. Also, again, I want to shout out my co-host, Miss K. I know everyone knows now my beautiful wife, you know, gorgeous, she's just the bomb in every way imaginable. Give her a shout out as well. And to all those that listen and support us every Monday on Blog Talk Radio, every Monday at 7 p.m., we just want to say thank you. For those that are on the internet, listening through the internet, I just want to say thank you for your support. Y'all show up strong every weekend, and I just want to say thank you for just logging in on your computer, listening to all our shows. It means a lot to me, and I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Also, to all my sponsors, Pepsi, Royal Caribbean, Brentwood Publishing, Finish Line, Pizza Hut, a special shout-out. I said, if I didn't say it, I'm saying it now, that come the month of February, I got a new sponsor coming up that will be joining so when I said thank you, I want to say thank you to all my sponsors and the new one we got coming up. I'm going to reveal it tonight just to show you how God moves, and then we're going to get right into the show. You know, we get a lot of phone calls. I get a lot of phone calls, a lot of them scams, and today I got a phone call, and a long time ago, I've been working on a sponsor to get to sponsor my show. And, you know, tonight I was confirmed that, you know, Outback is going to be our new sponsor coming up starting February. So I want to thank them. They took care of a brother today. You know, they know the game is coming on Ohio State, Alabama, Roll Tide. And, you know, they took care of me for tonight. So I'm going to hurry up and get off so I can enjoy my steak tonight from Outback. That's going to be a new sponsor. When people think that they're sponsoring people, I just want to get this clear because I don't want no one calling me up. That don't mean I don't get no money. We just get a little, you know, help me with scholarships and things of that nature. And if we need anything to help people who need help, they're one of the first ones to give. So don't think that I'm getting paid. But they did took care, brother. They did take care of me tonight for the game. And, you know, I didn't have to come out of my pocket. So I want to send a shout out to them. Thank you. Also, the Lord is just good. He's moving in so many ways. I could keep on talking and talking and talking about how he's moving and blessing me. But I'm not going to do that because some people say that. It really is, but it ain't bragging on me. It's bragging on the Lord. This was a random phone call. I'm driving in my car, and, you know, the phone call, I just happened to answer the phone. And they were trying to get a hold of me through email. And they were like, well, we're gonna hook you up. I said, okay. What's the nearest Outback is near me? And I told them, and sure enough, when I got there, we were ready for me. Already comp, ready to roll. So I'm excited about that. But with us, that, without no further ado, we're going to say a quick prayer, and we're going to jump right into the show. But before I do that, say my prayer, I'm going to bring my wife on. Ms. Kay, you have anything you want to say before we get started?
Well, you said it. Happy Monday to everybody. It's a beautiful day here in Georgia. It's raining, so I love rainy days. So happy Monday, and prayerfully, you're having a good Monday so far, and thank God for everything he's doing. He keeps on blessing, so I praise him. And I pray that y'all enjoy the show tonight.
They're going to enjoy the show, but when you say it's a beautiful day and it's raining, you know, my mind goes somewhere that leads to adult activity when it's raining. You know what they say. So I don't know. You got to clarify that up. You know, it's raining, but you still bled. You can't just leave it like that because some people interpret that the wrong way. And then when I say I want to get off early, they may be thinking other things. So with that
being you thinking that? That's you. That is you all day getting ready for the game. That's the only reason you would be getting off early. So
you're telling the truth. Got other, okay. That ain't the reason, but okay, here we go. Here we go. Let us bow. I'm going to bow our heads. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you. Father God, we want to, Father God, come to you boldly today, Father God, that, Father God, is there anything in me or Kate that's not like you? We ask that you remove it, Father God. If we've done anything to anybody that we may not know or we do know, Father God, we ask for your forgiveness. Father God, I ask that you give the listeners the ear to hear your word, and not only be hearers of your word, but be doers of your word. And Father God, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Man.
Amen. And tonight I'm gonna kick us off and get us started. You know, we're starting a new year, and I hear a lot of people talking about. There's a couple things they like to say. They like to start the new year off. Everybody like to go to church. Everybody like to start eating right. Everybody like to start going to the gym, and pretty much everyone wants to cleanse themselves. The first part of the year, you know, the first, especially January, everyone cleansing themselves, everybody working out, everybody on diets, everybody being nice, happy new year. And we're doing a self-cleansing of ourselves because that's what, when you say you're going to make a new year's resolution, that's what it pretty much is, whether it's being nicer or working out or eating right. And that's all good, but if we're only doing it because it's a religious practice, everyone do it every year, then it's only going to last for a month or a few weeks, or it's not going to last long. But when you do a cleansing and you do it and you try to purify yourself and you stay with it and you're committed to it, I believe that's what we need to be taught. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, cleansing our soul, cleansing our spirit, because we got a lot of stuff in us that's not right. And I'm talking about everybody, you know, because we all got something in us that's not, it's not right. We got to get it right. One of the things that, and I'm going to get into it spiritually in a minute. My wife did, she did a vision board. She asked me that I want anything on the vision board. I told her I wanted a scale, not to lose weight. I am going to try to lose weight physically, but spiritually, the dead weight that I carry around, the stuff that I complain about, the stuff that weighed me down, worrying about this, worrying about that, looking at things in a negative way. I want to lose all that stuff because it can hinder you spiritually if you're not careful. It will weigh you down. And I just want to send some shout-outs tonight. As part of my lesson tonight is sending some shout-outs. Last week I didn't say it on the air. I didn't want to embarrass no one, but last week my son celebrated his 25th birthday. I wanted to say happy birthday to him. And then also last week, my wife's daughter celebrated her 18th birthday. And doing that is part of cleansing. And when I say that part of cleansing, I'm going to let my wife come on in a minute, is my son, 25. I still have to pray for him, but I don't pray for him the same way that I prayed for him in the beginning of his life. It's different now because he's a grown man. There's a certain way that you have to pray. You can't pray the same prayer as they get older. You got to change prayer because they're going to go through certain things. And what I mean by cleansing myself, I have to cleanse myself even when it comes to my prayer life. Everyone, you have to pray for people. And when you pray for them, especially when it comes to your family and your kids, you pray for them a little differently. I can't pray for my son like he's a baby. I can't pray for him as if he's an adolescent or a teenager because he's a grown man. He's going to experience things that I have to pray for, certain issues that he's going to have, certain things that he's going to encounter in life. So my prayer is with him in certain things. And the reason I say that is because last week he had some bad weather where he lives, and he had a spin out. He never had to drive in the snow like this before. So he called me and wanted, what do I do when I spin out? I had to explain to him, this is what you do coming from Ohio. This is how you. So then instantly my mind went to worrying. He don't know how to drive in the snow. And I'm stressing myself out because he's 25. He just got a brand new car. But it's not about the spirit. It's just how you have to prepare yourself spiritually to pray for him now. He's not a baby. I got to let that go. And I got to pray for him as a man, not as a little adolescent boy, because now he's dealing with man issues, if I'm making myself clear. But I feel like I'm talking and rambling, so I'm going to let my wife take over.
No, I agree with you when you say you have to change. This is my third adult child now, so you do have to change some things up because they're experiencing things that the younger ones haven't experienced yet. So you do have to change. You have to cover it. Make sure you cover them in making wise decisions, because the decisions that they're making, we can't protect them and say, oh, they were just a kid and they didn't mean to do it. Once you hit 18, you're responsible for you. So it's very important to pray, and stay on your face in regards to your adult kids. Many people say, oh, I can't wait till my kids get older. But personally, this is my personal experience. When they get older, it just seems like you got to pray more. You really have to be on your face. I mean, when they're in your house, you in control of pretty much what goes on. You set the tone for a lot of things, and you can say no to a lot of things. But once they get grown, it's kind of like they do what they want. So to me, it's something you do have to grow. You got to grow. Growing your prayer life more when it comes to adult kids. So that's what I'm going to say about that part. I'm going to touch on what you were saying initially as well. So when we were talking earlier in the week, and we were talking about, you know, everybody wanting to change things, and every year around this time, like you said, everybody goes through this thing where they want to do something different than they did the previous year, whether it's, you know, like you said, losing weight. They may want to give more. I'm going to start giving more to the church, or I'm going to love more, you know, save more money. Whatever the circumstances is, we're going to do, and we're going to make changes. And in order to make a change, you have to get it in your mind first. It's going to first come with a thought. So you're going to have a thought to do it. Then you have to carry out that thought. And a lot of the times we start out with good intentions, and we start off on the positive side of doing things. But, you know, life happens. And, you know, some of us, we give up completely. And some of us, you know, we slide back to into doing our, you know, our old way of doing things. So it's easy to slide back into how you used to do it because it's comfortable and it's familiar. So we were talking about changing our minds and doing a cleanse. And the thing is that, you know, there are many things, you know, you may have thought, I know I've thought throughout my life, and thank God that I didn't act on some of the things that came to my mind, and some things I didn't let get deeply rooted in, within my spirit. But there are those thoughts that, you know, they became actions, and those actions, I'm still dealing with the consequences today, and like I'm sure many of you, the same. So everything that we do, personally, it starts with a thought. It begins there, and then it turns into something else. The battle starts in our mind, and then it goes into our behavior. So we were discussing this, and I was talking about how you got to clean out your, you know, some people, they clean out their, they get rid of old clothes, things you can't fit anymore, things you're not going to ever wear anymore. Even clean out your refrigerator, your freezer. You have old expired things in there that you need to get out. They say move the new stuff to the beginning, to the front, and get rid of the old stuff that's in the back. So you got to do all of this spiritually as well within yourself. I like to say is that I've been studying about a soul detox. So we do have to detox our soul. Just like we clean everything else, we got to go in and get rid of that thinking that we have. And those things that are not bringing God any pleasure, you have to get rid of that. Whether it's words that we've heard in our past that stick in our mind, that torture us daily, whether it's a relationship that we're in and we should find a way to get out because it's toxic, all these things are ways that we can cleanse ourselves. And the more you get into the Word of God, the more the cleansing takes effect. But you have to want to do it. It has to be a choice. You have to choose to change. So if you don't choose to change, then you're going to be in this situation. I can want it all day long. I can desire it all day long. I can wish it all day long. But if I don't choose to do it, it's not going to happen. And Ephesians 4 and 22 says, throw off your old sinful nature. 23 says, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. If you want to change anything in your behavior or your emotions, you got to start with your thoughts and attitudes. So you got to start there. And you got to be real. You got to be truthful. A lot of us, we don't, if I could say, keep it real. We show people what we want them to see. We know how to say things, especially church people. You know how to say things, and you know how to get a rise out of people. You know how to pull on people's emotions. But are you being real? You have to be real in order to experience a change. You can't be fake and think that you're going to change on the inside. So this is a new year. We need to really, and I say we, I'm speaking for myself as well, do some soul searching, some soul cleansing, because time is running out, and you can't be fake with the Lord. You may be able to be fake with D or K, but you can't be fake with the Lord. So we got to start making some changes. Husband, go ahead.
No, you're going good. I just want to reiterate. A lot of times we make these confessions and we do it, and we have a good intention on doing it. At the same time, if you're doing it because this is what you do every year and then break it, it's really a waste of time and energy because you're not going to follow it all the way through from January to December. And what I want to say is, and the reason I brought up the kids is because they're transitioning from you know, going from out of the house to being on their own, and there's a different way we have to pray. We can't treat our kids like babies all the time. You got to let them grow up. There's some experiences my son is going to experience as being a young adult that he didn't experience as an adolescent. There's some things he's going to go through. I have to change the way I pray, the way I pay. I have to change everything because he's not a baby. If you treat him like a baby, then, you know, he's going to respond. He's already texting me now, don't be talking about him on the radio because you feel like he's a kid. So it's not the fact, and that's what I'm saying. you know, he wants to be treated like a man, and I understand that. And even the young lady, my wife's daughter that's getting ready to graduate, wants to be treated differently, not as if they're part of the house, or, but they want to be treated differently. And the reason I'm saying this is because we have to change our mindset. We have to cleanse ourselves. And if you look at it spiritually, we do have to change the way we pray and approach people and situations because of where they're at. There's some people in the church that are at a baby state. You have to teach. They've been in church 20 years, but they still have baby mentality ways. They don't want to, they don't want to be pushed out. They want to just stay where they at. They happy sitting on a pew. They happy saying amen. They happy marking in their little Bibles, and that's it. They don't pick it up when they go home. They're satisfied with that. And we have to recognize that, and we have to treat them accordingly. Then again, you know, some of us have kids that are older that have not matured yet. They're grown in age, but they still act worse than your adolescent kids act. And you can't push them to go out there because they'll hurt themselves, because mentally, spiritually, they're not ready for that. And we have to be aware. So you have to treat everyone differently. And I think everyone knows you treat everybody differently or according, but the people that are around us, our families, and this is who this lesson is for, you have to be careful how you, because everyone's not at an adult, even though they're at the age of 25, 30, 40, however old your kids may be, or your nieces or nephews or friends may be, they may not be mature as their age, and you have to be aware of that. The only way you can be aware of that is you have to be in tune with the Spirit. The only way you can be in tune with the Spirit is you got to have a prayer life. The only way you have a prayer life is you have to commit to pray daily. If you're committing to pray daily, the Lord will instruct you how to handle each and every situation. But if you're only doing this for a month and only do it for a month and think that it's going to carry you all the way through the year, it's not going to happen. You have to pray daily. You have to fast. You have to. There's things we have to do to detox ourselves spiritually, so we know how to handle people in the correct way. Now, there's a way to handle people, because the church is written up with rules, signs, and you do this and you do that, and they've been a member for 20 years, but if they've been a member for 20 years and they still sitting in the same pew doing the same thing over and over, they're still a baby. They're still acting like a baby. So you can't treat them and put them on the front line and tell them you in charge of this, because they're not mature spiritually enough to handle it, whether it's in the church or in your home. That's why you have to be very careful when you speak to someone, pray for someone, that you're not doing it because that's what you think, because you're going to pray for a 20-year-old, or he's going to act like he's 20, so I'm going to give him that. He may still be acting as if he's 4 or 5, having a tantrum, if everything don't go their way. Or they could be mature for their age, and you treat them differently, because if they're mature for their age, then you're going to treat them accordingly. Am I making sense? I hope I'm making sense to you. Everyone's not the same or at the same level. And even when it comes to people in the church, there's a lot of elders and pastors that I know that on a level that you would think they would be on a higher level than what they are, but they're not, because their action shows that they're not. And if you get mad at someone when you preach, I'm just taking it here because it's simple, for when you preach, when I preach, if I take it personal when people come at me, well, why did you say that? You ain't had no business doing it. I've learned through time that it's their issue, because I'm only preaching what God gives me. And if they're getting mad about it, evidently I touched a nerve that needed to be touched. And I didn't touch it. The Lord touched it. The Holy Spirit touched it. And it's just showing me where you're at spiritually. And I had a church want me to come speak for them somewhere in Georgia, and they told me what I could not talk about. Well, I declined it just for the simple reason you telling me what I can't talk about makes me just want to talk about it. But that's a story for a different day. But that's what we're trying to say. You have to detox yourself spiritually, so when it comes to praying or ministering to someone, that you will let the Lord lead you and you don't lead yourself.
Amen. This thing about, you say somebody's been in the church for, let's just say, 20 plus years, and they're still babies. I've heard you say that before. And my thing with that situation is something ain't right. Unless there is some type of, I don't even know how to say the word, but how can you be in church for that long period of time and still eating baby food? I don't understand that part. There has to be some type of growth there. If you're not growing, then you should maybe go somewhere else. Because what's the purpose of being in a place where you're not growing? If you're just and you're happy just being a baby, and you grown.
I'm glad you asked that question. I'm glad you asked that because, you know, I've been in church my whole life, grew up in church, and I've seen people be in church longer than me. And they have not progressed because they don't know what growth is. If you're not being taught how to grow, if you're not being taught how to serve the Lord for yourself, if you're not being taught, you're going to be in a position of just stagnating, and you're going to be comfortable with that. It's like when you get kids that want to stay at home and don't want to go to work, and they just stay at home and they become a burden on you. We both know people who got kids like that. But it's crazy, but spiritually, you got to look at the same thing. It ain't got nothing to do. If that individual is not getting the food they need and they're comfortable, then they're in a home, they're in a dysfunctional home. Well, there are such things as dysfunctional churches where it's all about the man and not about the Lord. It's all about the man and his vision and what he wants to do. And it has nothing to do with the Lord and how the Lord is going to raise you up. See, and you have to look at that. And when you look at churches, you look at it, is it about the man or is it about the people? When the man, when the pastor gets blessed or elders get blessed, some of the members should get blessed. There should be an overflow. There should be some teaching where you should want to get some of the blessings too. If you're not taught that, then you're just going to sit there and accept what people tell you. And that's just enough. And I don't have a heaven hell to put no one in. It's not my place.
Wouldn't that be on the person too, though? Because when are they going to be accountable for their lives? That's the thing. You give somebody else control over your life and where you're going in the Lord. You can't control where I'm going in the Lord. I think the thing is that maybe, like you said, you have kids that they lazy. To me, they lazy. It's not that they ain't been taught. They're just choosing to be lazy and going to eat at the service like a baby instead of picking up the fork and trying to feed themselves. That's what it seems like to me. I could be wrong. I could be looking at it the wrong way. But in my mind, there has to be a desire to want to change. And it just sounds like that desire to change, to grow, is not there. And that's your mindset is just there. You don't want to go any further. You're going to get what the pastor gives you, and you're going to call it a day. You're not going to go home and pick up your Bible and study. You're going to be like, oh, the word was good today, and you're going to just leave it at that.
It is what it is. But prior to coming to Georgia and being a part of church, I'm just going to be honest with you. This is just from me and my personal experience from church. Whether it's a big church, small church, because I've been a part of both. And what happens is you get caught up in church stuff. And when you get up in church stuff, it has nothing to do with the Lord. It has nothing to do with growth. It's just stuff. It's just stuff you deal with going to church. You're going to be on a committee. Well, if you're on this committee, okay, but there's nothing talking about the word in that committee. You're just on the usher committee. You're just, okay, you got to greet people happy. You got to do this and do. It's all about doing tangible things, but it has nothing to do with your spiritual growth. And because you're a part of that, and because you're going to, because you're a part of the usher board, you're part of the choir, the word is not being taught in those different auxiliaries of how to grow as a person. So therefore you think because you're involved in all these different activities and the word isn't being taught, or isn't being not taught. What word I want to use is not being. You're not being held accountable for certain things, and it's okay. Back in the 80s, and I just go back from my father's church. If you did certain things in church, if you were pregnant, they had to sit you down. And then you couldn't, you could still go to rehearsal, but you couldn't be up there because they didn't conform to the sin that you did. After the baby was born and you did what you had to do, you can come back. Today, you got people doing all types of sin in the church with no accountability because it's okay to do it. It's okay to go out on Saturday night and dance in the club. It's okay to go out and sleep around occasionally. It's okay. And you don't hear no churches talking about abstinence, saving yourself. No, you protect yourself. That's all you hear, protect yourself. You don't hear about the lifestyle as being a – and to me, that's where the growth comes from. Regardless what auxiliary you in, how long you've been doing it, if it's not being taught to do it for the Lord by the scriptures that's in the Bible, then you're not going to grow. And you're thinking because of what I was growing up with, as long as you're in church, you're okay. Well, it's right, but then
that's
again, it's
the
not right because if you're not,
that's that
if you're not getting the
right
word.
Here.
Well, yeah, that's
that
it is.
That's that baby,
but it's
baby,
baby
because it's not just going to church and just as long as you get in the word. No, you need to be active. You need to if I keep telling my daughter, well, make sure you read your Bible, and she said, I read it. I got us. I want her to go further than just read. I want you to get an understanding of what you're reading. I want you to ask some questions about what you're reading. I don't want you to just read it like it's a novel, like it's just a book and you're just reading through it and it's not meaning anything to you. And a lot of times it just seems like that's what people, they just read it and it's like, okay, that was a good story. And then you just let it go instead of getting that relationship with the Lord and letting the Spirit lead and guide you. It's like the Holy Ghost is just left. Like if you don't speak in tongues, oh, well, that's the end of it. And that's not even true. So, but people are not going. They're choosing not to go deeper.
It's not that they don't choose. I just think they don't know how. And if you don't know how to do something, you're going to keep doing the same thing over and over. And there's a few people that like take risks.
Before we started this, before I started coming on the air with you. You think I don't know how to talk. I'm talking to little kids because that's what I'm comfortable with. I can't talk to no grown people. But the more I get into the Word and the more I study and seek the Lord, the more confidence, the more I feel more comfortable because I'm letting the Lord do the work.
That's the thing right there. That's the thing right there. And not to put you on blast or you think I'm attacking you, but how long did it take for you to get to that point? And that's what I'm saying because you've been teaching little kids for how long in the church? You've been only doing certain things regardless of what church you was at, who the leader was, this, that, or the other. You was never pushed to do anything. You were never challenged to do anything. So therefore, what I'm saying is there's a lot of people in church who's not being pushed. And a lot of people would rather have a relationship with the head man of the church, the head man of all of us. So because I'm cool with the pastor, me and the pastor cool, and I call him, he answers the phone, I'm going to heaven. That's the mentality of the people.
So it's
not that they don't know, it's just the fact that are they being taught on a level of who to trust, who should. That's my point. That's why people get mad at me when I call these preachers out because I want what you got. If you being blessed every month, every week, I want. How do I be blessed? Show me. And then they can't never answer the question. You know why they get to go on these special retreats and we get to do these generic retreats?
Lord,
how come I can't go to the special ones? So no, I'm just being honest because it's true. These churches know what I'm talking about. That only the head people go on these big retreats, but yet they'll come back and do these little 20-minute retreats with us. Like, okay, why come I can't go stay in a mansion with y'all? why me and my what's wrong with us? Because we're not I ask questions, and wherever am I going? Well, how can I do this? And if you can't show me how to do what you're doing to get what you got, then there's a problem. It ain't about how much money I give to you. It's about showing me spiritually, what am I doing wrong? Can you come talk to me when I'm wrong? Now, at this point, I have people around me. If I'm wrong, they'll tell me, well, Derek, you're wrong. I can receive them. But for people who don't know and is trying to run game on people, when I start asking the questions, they don't want the questions asked, because same thing like you asking the question, why aren't everybody growing? Why everyone is just stagnant, has been in church? Because that's what they're used to. And if their leader ever taught them how to go out and fish for themselves, the leader wouldn't be as needed as much as he is, but he wants to feel needed. And whenever you got a leader that wants to feel like he's needed, there's a problem. There's a problem. Because it's not the leader's people, it's the Lord's people. The leader is just following instructions from the Lord. That's all the leader. He just, whatever the Lord leads him and how he leads him, and as he leads, as he follows the Lord and following the Lord, then the people will follow. But people is following the leader instead of following the Lord. And there's a difference. There's them. Now, I'm not saying everyone went called to be preachers, this, that, or the other. But there's one day, and this is what the Lord working on me. So hope and pray for me by the end of the year I get this out of my system. I want to call some people out because I know that they're leading the wrong way, because there's people in my family, friends, and minister people that I deal with that's not being led the right way. Now, that's my opinion. And it's my opinion from what I see. If you ain't preached this whole time since this pandemic has been going on, I'm not questioning you, bro. I would never question no one's calling, but there should be something bothering you. But if it's not bothering you, you're okay. Well, I'm just going to wait till this pandemic is over with. To me, well, how you be called by God and you letting something stop you, when the Lord let nothing stop him from doing what he had to do? And that's all what I'm saying. I'm talking to my minister friends now. If you ain't preaching or teaching, you don't have to do it in your congregation. I mean, that's the ideal place you learn and you train from. But if you're not doing that, I'm questioning your calling, because you're allowing man to tell you and to dictate to you what you can and cannot do. I refuse to let someone dictate to me when I can preach and when I can't. Because if God called me, he's going to present a platform for me to do it all. And then a lot of times preaching ain't inside the church with a microphone and a group of people. That's not preaching. But there's family members, there's people in jail, there's people in homes, and they need to hear the word of God. And ain't no one stopping you from going out doing that. That's what kills me about a lot of people who say they've been called, but yet they wait for the church for them to do their calling. If I'm waiting on the church for me to speak or teach, then you know what? I'm just a waste. The Lord didn't give me the ability to do what I'm doing just to sit here to tell me when I can preach or when I can teach, if I'm not doing it at home, if I'm not doing it in my community, if I'm not doing it in my surroundings. And that's just me. That's just me talking. Go ahead.
A lot of the time, you know, we think we're waiting on God. And actually, God is waiting on us. So that's what I'm learning. The more you put yourself out there and do his work, the more he adds to you, the more he adds what he needs to add in your life to bring him the glory. But we have to surrender and submit our lives to him in order for us to even move forward. And to do that, you have to change. You have to get a renewed mind. I know a lot of people don't like the word repent, but you got to repent on some things. Make a U-turn. Stop doing what you're doing. Choose to change. And you have to do it intentionally. You can't just, it's not something that you're going to do on an accident. You have to intentionally want to change. And there is no growth without change. So in order to grow, you have to change some things up. I want to read 2 Timothy 3. You can, at your leisure, you can read verses 16 and 17. I'm just going to read a little bit of it. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We are all servants of God. Regardless of your title, we are all servants of God. It's important to get into the Word. Everything that we need is in the Word. Everything. You want a new attitude? Go to the Word. You want to change your relationships? Go to the Word. Anything that you need to go to the Word, because without seeking God for yourself, you're going to be lost. You have to seek Him for yourself. You have to want to talk to Him. You have to want to communicate. You just can't leave it on the pastor's shoulder, because at the end of the day, it's going to be you and the Lord. And yes, they will be held accountable for what they're doing on this earth, but you're going to be held accountable as well. So don't just put it in the man's hand, because we're all servants.
But think about what you're saying, and you know, I don't know. I don't want to keep harping on the same thing over and over again. But you know, there's a lot of great churches, and they're doing the right thing with the people, and the members are growing and growing. And in some cases, some people just don't want to grow. And you
exactly.
have that. They just don't want to grow.
Exactly.
And you have great leaders that's trying to make them grow. They just don't grow. And then on the other hand, you have people who don't know how to grow, and they got leaders who's not even teaching them how to grow. So it depends on how you do things. And the older I get, and as time goes on, I'm learning more and more. You know, the world is changing, and it's not the world me and you are used to, where we're not, you know, it's different. The praise is different. The worship is different. The preaching is different. People are different. And now everything, you can do anything you want to do in this world, and it's okay. You don't hear the church talking about the homosexuals no more. You don't hear the church talking about abstinence no more. You don't hear this. You don't hear, as a kid when we was growing up, it was taught week in and week out, abstinence. And that's what we was taught. Now it's like it's not even realistic that you be abstinent. Protect yourself. But the Bible clearly talks about sex before marriage. And it
you know
not only
why?
Do we talk about it, but also
you know why?
But also if you do it, the chances of you getting some type of disease, it could cost you your life. Even if it doesn't cost you your life, it could cost you your life. You can end up being unwedded. A teenager, but even now, that's glorified. That it's okay, long as you take care of it, long as you have it. But yet, what about your school? What about the stuff that you're putting on hold? I'm not knocking no one that got pregnant as a teenager, because there's some great people, great women of God that was pregnant as teen that went on to do the thing. What I'm saying is, the way it was taught back then and the way it's taught today is totally different. And I don't want to make this thing about a sex thing, about adolescent teenagers. It's just about things are different today, even in the church. Some churches pass out condoms. They just pass them out. We rather for them to be safe than sorry. My thing is this, then you're not teaching the fear of God in them, because the Bible stately says what will happen. You know, if you save yourself, it's going to be a blessing.
If they're not practicing that themselves, what makes you think they're going to be teaching that to anybody else? They're not practicing what you're saying. No, they're not. I'm not going to say nobody, but a lot of people, they do their thing, and they expect nobody to find out, and they can't tell. The kids today know the real deal. They know who real, they know who fake. So you can't be telling them about keeping your legs closed or whatever else you want to say about a subject unless you're doing it. So that's why they don't say nothing, because their hands are dirty.
It's well,
also
I'm glad
you save
you
your
said
money.
It.
Don't spend your money. You're saved your money. Don't spend all your money. And every time you see me, I'm in the mall shopping and my light's off. How can you tell me what to do when you ain't even handling your business? So you can't preach to somebody something that you're not doing yourself. Whether it's a former member of the church, whether it's a choir member, whether you're the usher, it don't matter what position you got. Whether you're the person that just picks up the trash, it doesn't matter if you're just a person that sit in a pew. If you doing what you're doing, there's no way you're going to open up your mouth and tell somebody else to stop doing it because you're doing it. And that's the bottom line. That's why you don't hear about a lot of these things now, because they're doing it.
Well, yeah, that's true. And since we own it, and I hope y'all are enjoying the conversation tonight, we just wanted to have a conversation. Well, no, we weren't supposed to, but we here. It's almost over with. But there's this mega preacher, and he's here in Atlanta. And if you just watch him and if you listen to him preach, he's a phenomenal preacher, phenomenal preacher. But he has a reputation of liking a lot of ladies. And matter of fact, if anyone, and I don't know if people watch Atlanta Housewives or not, not Atlanta Housewives, but the Housewives of Potomac, Jamal Bryant. Now, I love listening to Pastor Bryant's message when he preached, but his lifestyle does not add up to what he's preaching. If you just watch him on social media, if you just watch what he preaches and how he lives his life, it's two separate lives. And if you look at who his girlfriend is now, his baby's mama, which he divorced because he cheated on her so many times, but they're supposed to be getting back together. But if you look at his baby's mama and look at her lifestyle, I'm questioning his lifestyle based upon her lifestyle. If she's out there drinking and cussing and swearing, what is he doing? And this is just something basic from what I see. People say, well, that's TV, you can't believe that. No, if you got kids with somebody, that makes me okay. What's going on? And if her own daddy don't like him, and he's supposed to be a mega pastor, something's wrong with the picture. So not only are they not preaching it or living it, being a preacher is not so much what the Bible calls. Being a preacher is right now is a job. If you qualify, you can be a preacher. If you could be say the right things and do the right things and dress the right way and act a certain way, you can be a preacher. We could train someone up to be a preacher. That doesn't mean they've been called and they're going to do everything that the Lord wants them to do because they're just looking at it as a job. How can I get the most members? How can I get the most money? That's what a lot of people are doing. A lot of my friends, that's what they're doing. How do we do this? How do we do this? I get calls daily on how do you do Blog Talk? How do you get the sponsors? It ain't about being on Blog Talk. It's about how do you get the sponsors. I can't answer the question because the Lord did it in a way where I can't explain it. I don't have a blueprint that this is what you have to do this. So on one hand, I see why people are doing what they do. They don't want to preach holiness because if they preach holiness, they have to live holy. But they're not living holy. But they do it in such a way where it seems like they're doing it, but they're really not. And that's the point. It's not my job to call them out, but it frustrates me because I know they're misleading a lot of people. And one thing I don't want on my shoulders is when I preach something, I want to be able to say, I'm living that. I'm overcame that. I'm overcoming that. I'm struggling. You know, regardless of the situation, I'm doing the Lord's will, not Derek's will. Because if Derek's will would be being done, we wouldn't have did the show today. If Derek's will would be doing, I wouldn't be doing a lot of stuff that I do, but it's not my will, it's the Lord's will. And I just want to throw this out there because the Lord just gave it to me. When the Lord was putting this world together, who did he consult with? Nobody. When he was putting the animals and stuff together, who did he consult with? Nobody. So when the Lord is trying to change your life, he don't have to consult with you. He just changes it, whether you like it or not. And a lot of people don't like it because they didn't tap in and got how the Lord wants it, and they don't want to do it, so they stop doing it. That's all that is. If I was controlling my life, I would, and every time I try to take control of it, it ends up being messed up. But the Lord is leading and guiding me. Because it's his will. It's not Derek's will. So when I say that, And I see people sitting in church not growing. It's not because they don't want to grow. It's the simple fact is because they don't have no input in how they grow. Now, I'm going to say that one more time because that's a good place to shout. You want to grow, but you want to grow the way you want to grow. And it's not your will that's growing. It's the Lord's will. And in order for the Lord's will to grow, you got to have his word. You got to have his teaching. You got to do his diet plan. You got to detox when he tells you to detox. It's all about him. It ain't got nothing to do with you. So when you give up your will and take on his will, that's when you're going to start growing. And a lot of people in the church don't want to do that because they want to put their will. They want to put their stamp of approval on it. This is Derek's church, so I'm going to do it this way. And I want my people to be like this. I want them to all love me. And that's what they do. A lot of pastors is caught up into that. That's why do you think when the pandemic came, a lot of preachers wasn't preaching? Because they didn't have a crowd. They didn't have no one to preach to. They can't just get on a screen and preach without no organ and water, all the entertainment. They didn't do that. So what they did is they're going to sit behind a desk and act like they're intelligent and try to fool you with big words you don't understand. But if they called you to preach, you're going to preach whether you're in front of 5 people or 5,000 people, because that's what you've been called to do. And it ain't about the numbers. It's about doing the calling the way he wants you to do it. Sometimes you're not going to have but 2 or 3 people in front of you when you preach, period. I know that they're not popular with a lot of people. Why you don't have 2 or 3 people when you've been called to preach? Sometimes you'll gather you with your people that you work with. That's your opportunity. That's your pulpit to preach to them right then and there. Sometimes you cool with certain family members. That's your opportunity to preach right then and there, because they ain't coming to church. And now with COVID coming around, they can't come to church. So the only preacher they're going to hear is you if you've been called to preach, teach, or whatever your calling is. That's what that's about. So when I'm talking about detox, cleaning your system out, you got to get some of that stuff out of your system. You can't put it on the preachers no more. You can't put it on the pastors no more. You got to do that for yourself, because the way the Lord is his will being done. Can't get snapped out of here in a minute. But the Lord is trying to see who his real disciples are right now. Because coming on church on Sunday, you can fake the funk on Sunday. I can put my suit on and go to church and say a scripture and have everyone saying amen and hallelujah. But at the end of the day, when I leave church and come home, do I have that same spirit? Do I have that same presence of the Lord on me? Or is it only when it's in church? So I'm saying this because I'm done. Go ahead. I'm done.
There was a scripture that I wanted to give when you were talking about, religious people, but it's 2 Timothy 3:5. It says, they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. The King James Version says, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So I'm not a member of that church, and nor do I want to entertain anything that person is preaching about. So what I wanted to say also is the more we replace our toxic thoughts with the word of God, the more we replace our toxic behaviors with the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the more we replace our secret motives with a relationship with Christ, as well as a relationship with fellow believers, that's when we'll see the change in our conversations and the way we talk, the change in our desires, the change in what's really important in our lives. So once we stop entertaining and dancing with the enemy, that's when we'll see a change. That's when we'll see a difference. I was thinking about, I don't know what kind of bars they're called, but gymnastics use them, and they swing. So they'll go from one bar to another. To me, I just want to relate them to monkey bars, but they're not monkey bars. I don't know what they're called, but you hang on one, and then you got to let go to swing to another. Kind of like at a circus, how the trapeze artists, they have to go from one trapeze to the next. So when you're trying to do change in your life and you're hanging on, if you don't let go of that bar that you're hanging on, once you reach the next bar, you're going to just be dangling in the middle. And when you're dangling in the middle, there is no change. You have to let your whole body go to that other side in order for you to have change. So during this process of cleansing and allowing the Lord to clean up what needs to be removed, because we all got a lot of junk in us that can get cleaned out. So once the Lord starts doing that, you have to let go. You may have to let go of some friends. You may have to let go of some relationships. You just may have to let go of some things, even some TV shows. You might have to let go of some of your shows that you like because they're not bringing God any glory. So in order for us to grow and to get fully cleansed, we do have to let go of some things. So I know every year we going to change something. We going to do something different. So prayerfully, 2021, we can start getting rid of this dead weight that we got on us. We gotta drop some of this dead weight off and let it lie where it lie in order for us to walk lighter in the Lord, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And that's all I'm going to say.
Well, that's fine, but I just want to put it out there. We're not talking about physical weight. Now, some of us, including me, need to lose some physical weight, but we'll be talking about spiritual weight. And you use the perfect example, the circus, because the church is a circus. There's a bunch of monkeys, there's a bunch of clowns, there's a bunch of stuff. And also, it goes on with a circus that don't smell too enticed. All I'm saying is I'm just describing the church, because the church is like a circus. You got people dangling, you got people hanging. I ain't saying all churches, I'm just saying church folks. We've been in church our whole life. We know how, what a circus is like, and we know every Sunday when we go, the ringleader of the circus is going to be there to entertain everybody. If you don't have this, that, or the other, I'm going to ask the question, if there was no one that can sing devotions come to church on Sunday, would you still give God the praise? If there was no one that was on the instruments, would you still give God the praise? How can that change your praise? So when I ask myself the question, it don't matter who's singing, who's preaching, you still going to give God the praise and the glory. Now, I'm not an emotional person, so when I go to church, I'm not all in, and it's okay that you are. My question is, can you still do that if you take something away? Take the praise leader away and put someone up there that can't sing the same devotion. Are you still going to holler and shout? Take the people off the instrument and don't have no instrument. Are you still going to praise and shout? That's my question. When the preacher is teaching and giving what God has given him, are you going to go home and study what the preacher is saying? For me, I'm deep when it comes to this. If the preacher preaching and if it's not touching my life, it don't have nothing to do with my life, I'm in the wrong church. And I can honestly say this year, the last year, every time someone preached, it had a direct impact in my life. I don't need to have a whole bunch of meetings with people to say, well, how far are you going? I don't need that, because when you teach it and you get it and then you study it, that's the counseling. That's when you know that you're in the right place. But if you're in church and you're listening, I wonder who that was for. Something's wrong. If the message is that the Lord, who the Lord is leading and guiding everybody, if it's not touching you when it comes out, something's wrong with that. And if you can sit there and act like you buddy-buddy with the pastors and the elders and all that, and you think that's going to get you into heaven, you're wrong. It's a personal relationship. The only way you can know the Lord is through his word. The only way you can learn it through his word is you got to take the time to figure it out. And that's really all I got to say. So it's from having a circus to going to I like to call it going to the museum, because the museum is nice. It's quiet. It's pleasant. It's rich. It tells you the history of whatever it is you're looking at. It tells you about it, how to get there, how it got there, all of the things, and you get all that knowledge to know about that. But when you go to the circus, you're going to see a lot of stuff that ain't got nothing to do with entertaining you at a circus. All it is entertaining. You got the elephants. You got horses. And if you ever been behind a horse, you know it stinks. There ain't nothing pleasant behind that. And in some circles, you got monkeys running around. And if one of them animals get out of control, it could cause you your life. And it has happened at some circuses. But if you go to a museum and you're reading it and you're getting this knowledge, you ain't never heard nothing happening going on in a museum because it's quiet, it's pleasant, the atmosphere is different. And you can read about stuff, you can study stuff. Oh, this is how this happened, this is how that happened. You get that knowledge, and now you know how to go to the next exhibit. When you go to the circus, you don't know what you're going to get. You're going to get an attitude. I'm just going to be like, you're going to get an attitude. If the smell don't get you, the prices of the food will get you. And I can't see how you can eat in a place in a circus in the first place. And if that don't get you, then you got to worry about the animals. Or and you've seen what happened with the circus of late. They got Roy, the guys with the lions, and the lion ate them. He thought they had that trained up right. And see what happened to him. But I'm done. You got anything else you want to say?
Yeah, I got my last scripture. Last scripture. All right, so at your convenience, I want you to read Proverbs chapter 12, verses 11 through 23. Pretty much how to conduct ourselves and the consequences and the rewards that you'll receive. So Proverbs 12, 11 through 23. And take this time to look within. You know, sometimes the truth does hurt, and the thing is, not only does the truth hurt, but so does living an unfulfilled, unhealthy life. So we got to get some cleaning going on and get our souls right, so we can move forward and draw others unto Christ, be that light and that example to other people. That's all I want to say for tonight.
Yeah, hopefully you all enjoyed our conversation tonight. We just wanted to try to be a blessing. Hopefully you understood what we talk about, detoxing yourself spiritually, being led by the Spirit, and not just doing stuff because people do it. Do it because that's what the Lord wants you to do, and that's a big difference. Do it because the Lord's telling you to do it, not because someone is telling you to do it. That's really all I got for you tonight. Tomorrow night, you know what time it is. Same time, 7 p.m. Same station, Blog Talk Radio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver, 7 p.m., 845-277-9094. We have Bishop Omar, First Lady Pamela Zachary, and Praise Tabernacle Church Bible Study, along with his elders, evangelists, and deacons will be on board tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Please tune in 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Also on Thursday night is Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries, Thursday night at 7 p.m. Same time, 7 p.m., same internet station, Blog Talk Radio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver, same phone number, 845-277-9094. And you can even go to Facebook Live and watch them on Thursday night at Praise Tabernacle Church, Lawrenceville. And they'll be on Facebook Live Sunday, their new time, 9:15 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio at 9:15 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Bishop Omar and First Lady Pamela Zachary, Praise Tabernacle Church, Sunday morning, 9:15 on Sunday mornings now, same phone number, same internet station, and you can reach them as well. Again, tomorrow night is Bible study, 7 p.m. It's going to be a great lesson tomorrow night. I can guarantee you that. And I just, people got these challenges going out. I'm just going to challenge all my listeners out there. Just listen to Bible study for 30 days. Just listen for 30 days, and if you do not grow, and if you're not wanting to be more spiritual, if you're not wanting to do more work for the Lord, just listen to Bible study for 30 days. That's four Tuesdays. We're going to start this Tuesday, and we're going to listen to it and tell me you won't be blessed. With that being said, I think I got all my announcements in. Again, I just want to thank everyone for listening to us. Out back, I want to thank you for my steak I'm about to go enjoy. Roll Tide, Roll Tide. We root for Alabama tonight. And I know people saying, well, how come you ain't going to comment on the Steelers? We got beat, and I admit we got beat. The Steelers got beat by the Browns. I'm still hurting behind that, but we lost. I'm going to take it like a man. But a broke clock is right twice a day. I just want you to know that. It probably will never happen again in, in the history of my lifetime, but we lost to the Browns. And congratulations, Browns fan. All my people back in Ohio, congratulations. But we ain't rooting for Ohio State. We rooting for Alabama tonight. So hopefully get my revenge in the next few minutes. With that being said, I'm going to go ahead and pray and get us out of here. Father God, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you for what was talked about tonight, Father God. Father God, we just ask that you just give the listener the ear to hear what was being said tonight. Father God, if there's anyone out there that don't know you, Father God, we ask that you just touch them right now, Father God. Let them know that if they believe in you, Father God, and what you did on Calvary's cross, Father God, and that you died for their sins, that they shall be saved, Father God. Give them that understanding, Father God. Father God, we ask that you just touch those that did not believe, that want to believe tonight, Father God. Father God, we just ask you to touch all the people that's in Germany, all the people that's in London, all the people that's in Nassau, Father God, all the people that's in the United States, Father God. We just ask you to touch us right now, Father God. Pray for all our leaders, Father God. Father God, we ask you to pray for all the bishops, all the pastors, all the people in local office, Father God, all the officials. We just ask you to touch them right now, Father God. Father God, we just ask these things, Father God. Father God, for the people that are sick, Father God, that I don't know all their names, but we just ask that you just touch each and every one of them, Father God. And Father God, we ask that you just touch them. And the Bible, and Father God, the Bible says by your stripes they're healed, Father God. We're going to believe a complete healing in each and every one that's struggling with some type of sickness right now, Father God, some type of disease right now, Father God. Father God, also, we just ask that you just touch over all our kids, our family, Father God, our grandkids, our nieces, nephews, cousins, and friends. And Father God, we ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.
Amen.
We'll see you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. Y'all have a blessed one.
Good night.